This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
This hour, Mr. Durham, we have Coach Andrea Adelson to join us. Mike Johnson, the Notre Dame volleyball coach, will join us. We have four ACC teams getting ready to crank it up in Omaha next week. And we've touched base with just about everybody this week, except for Mike. But we look forward to having him back on the show to talk about the Irish and all that. So that's coming up here in hour number two.
Well done. And we also get it, in case you missed it, with Mike Norvell coming up at 8:45. We talked to him yesterday ahead of the Garnet and Gold game tomorrow, as we said a moment ago, as you can see at 5 o'clock right here on ACC Network. Sue Semerow, also the head women's basketball coach at Florida State, will join us in the 9 o'clock hour, as will Chris Cotter. Cotter will have Florida State football, but also get a little bit of a lacrosse update. He had that thriller last Thursday night with Duke and Carolina, too, Pack. So we'll get up to date with Chris Cotter coming up at 9:30. But let's go to Coach Adelson, because I know things are busy. Day before the big game, we've got to build our game plan to get ready for the Garnet and Gold game. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I'm doing my best impression of a coach with the only polo shirt I had. So it's a dress rehearsal for me, too. I want to try and speak and coach speak also with my answers. So I'm going to see if I can do it.
All right. Well, first thing I'm going to ask is this. I'm concerned about Florida State. We had Mike Norvell on the show yesterday. I'm not concerned on Mike's standpoint. I can't believe that they've reached into the Coach Adelson and Coach Staples routine. I mean, we got some Gators walking around in Tallahassee. How does that happen? I mean, and I'll tell you what, Andrea, if you come walking out in a visor, I'm just going to tell you the locals are not going to be happy with that. I'm just telling you,
they're not going to be happy.
Don't come out there with that visor, tossing that thing old school Gator. That does not work in Tallahassee. Just telling you.
So, Pack, are you saying I should return the visor that I bought to match
saying? If you want to mix and match and look good, because you're going to look good on the sidelines, that's a given. I would go baseball hat. I would not go visor, because that Florida State crowd is going to go, hey, wait a minute. Between Adelson and Staples, they got that Gator thing going. I don't want any visors being tossed over there on the sideline. This is Tallahassee, home of the Noles. So we got to get that right. Got to get that right.
When Mike called to extend the invitation, first of all, I'm like, does he have the right number? Is he sure he knows he's calling somebody who went to Florida? But then I said, when he said Andy Staples was also coming, he works at The Athletic, and Andy and I actually worked together at the student newspaper at the University of Florida. I was the sports editor and he was the assistant, so I never let him forget that. I said to Mike, wait, did you get this cleared by anybody? Are you sure you're allowed to have two Florida alums on the same sideline coaching your team? So he started laughing and he said, we just won't tell anybody, but of course everybody knows where we went to school. But guys, I just have to say, growing up in South Florida, having attended the University of Florida, Florida State is just one of those special places, because you know what this school and this rivalry, of course, means in the state of Florida. So to have a chance to even walk out onto the field, I promise there won't be any sabotage going on. I really want to do the best job that I can, because who knows, this may lead to a permanent coaching job. I mean, if Randy Shannon from the University of Miami can get a job on the staff, maybe I can. Who knows?
Well, Packer pointed this out yesterday, Andrea, with Randy Shannon now going to Florida State. He's coached at Miami, Florida, and FSU. Number UCF, one, he's got a very interesting closet, and UCF. That's right. So he's gone. He's kind of gone up the coast here. He's got an intriguing closet for starters, but also I think it. And you know, we'll speak to this in the football sense. I think it also signals a bit of a change too. Mike Norvell settling in for what he hopes is maybe a more traditional, normal looking season than all the hurdles we were having to jump last year.
No doubt about that. And when you look at Randy Shannon and all of his connections in the state of Florida, it makes sense. You don't really pay attention to where he went to school. You only pay attention to it in the fact that, oh, wow, he can maybe get us some connections into South Florida, because he has been such a phenomenal recruiter, essentially from the entire time that he has been a coach. That's why he was on the University of Florida staff. And obviously at UCF, yeah, he's a great coach, but also that recruiting connection. And when you're Mike Norvell and you're now starting to get that recruiting jump started, there hasn't been any ability to see anybody in person because of what's happened with the pandemic. I think Randy Shannon's going to be a key piece to the puzzle here because he can help the staff kind of familiarize themselves with where they need to go, what connections they need to make once they're able to get on the road and start recruiting. So I just think he's an invaluable addition to the staff and somebody that I think is going to provide some insight into the state and maybe even some insight into a couple of playbooks. Who knows?
Speaking of, before we get to other items, because you and David Hale did a great job writing a story about Jim Phillips and the future of the ACC, which we'll get to. We asked Mike Norvell, what's he looking forward to? So we're going to ask you, as the coach, what are you looking forward to watching in this game?
Obviously, the quarterbacks, guys, that has to be the number one on anybody's list, whether we're talking about Florida State or any other school that has an open quarterback competition. And, of course, you guys know that I have followed Mackenzie Milton's career since he was at UCF very closely over the last 4 years. And I've gotten to speak to him numerous times, even before he was injured, just about his life and growing up in Hawaii. And since he's been injured, all the stuff he's had to do to come back. So, of course, I'm really eager to see how he looks. I have not seen him on a football field since he was injured in 2018 against USF. And I think there's probably a lot of people who are coming to this game and a lot of people who are going to be tuning in on ACC Network to see, okay, does Mackenzie Milton look like what he looked like when he was hitting on all cylinders? People are going to have questions about his knee and how he looks with his mobility coming in and out of the pocket. But I've heard some great things about how Jordan Travis has played this spring as well. Mm-hmm. And we saw Jordan Travis make some steps last season for Florida State. This is a very young quarterback room, as you guys know. And so I'd like to see even what the addition of Mackenzie Milton has done for those guys as a unit, a veteran leader coming in there. I think defensively, I want to see some physicality, even though it is a spring game, just the type of mindset mentality you expect to see out of Florida State now as they move forward under Mike Norvell. This is obviously a team that is still really young, but I think it's important for them to make some steps this spring because they really didn't have one last year under their new head coach. I'm excited for what Mike Norvell is doing there. I'm excited to see what they bring to the table, but I'm most excited to see what Mackenzie Milton looks like.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. It's one of the schools that you really kind of want to look at, maybe a little closer than most in a spring game scenario, because Andrea, in all honesty, we never felt like we got to see maybe what they were all about a season ago, with the exception of a game or two.
That's absolutely right. And of course, most of that has to do with the pandemic and the fact that they didn't really have a spring. They really didn't have an offseason. And quite honestly, their offseason had more off the field questions than what was happening on the field, with some stuff that was happening in the player empowerment movement, the social justice movement, a little bit of a rocky start for Mike Norvell. And I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. Most of the interviews I've done with Mike Norvell have been about off the field situations at Florida State. Mm-hmm. So now I think this season is more like a reset button. We can actually pay attention to what's going to happen on the field for Florida State. Yeah, there's a lot of questions. Everybody has a lot of questions around the springtime, but we're actually asking about football. We're not asking about all the other stuff that was happening around the program. And for me, it's really been refreshing because we can focus on the X's and O's, the position battles, what's happening with the offensive line, who's going to step up at receiver, who's going to be the guy at defensive line, who's going to be able to provide some of the pass rush that they need, who's going to be the lockdown corner. These are all questions we weren't really asking a year ago, because we were asking about, well, what's everybody doing working out at home? Well, how are you making connections with your players? Well, what about what Marvin Wilson said? Well, what about the COVID testing? Now we finally get the focus back on football, and I think it's probably refreshing for Mike Norvell also to be talking about what his team actually looks like.
Andrew, there's no question that we are in a changing landscape in college athletics in every sense of the word. Transfer portal, name, image, and likeness, you name it, it's happening. That also includes changing of the guard, if you will, in the ACC with Jim Phillips taking over for John Swofford. You and David Hale had an opportunity to write a great article last week regarding the faces of the challenges that are ahead for everybody in this league, including the commissioner's office. What was your take in your conversations with the commissioner?
Appreciate that, Pack. We spoke to 16 coaches and athletic directors in addition to Jim Phillips for this story, and we really wanted to take an all-encompassing look at, okay, what are the biggest challenges that are facing the ACC ahead? In addition to all the things that you just mentioned, of course, television and money and trying to jumpstart that and what's going to happen now that there is a look-in window with ESPN. Look-in window just means they're going to sit down, they're going to talk about how the contract is working for everybody. And I think off of last season when it was so different and there were no divisions and there were more league games, I actually thought it worked out really well for the ACC. I enjoyed last season. I enjoyed the number of games that we got to see in conference. And so is there an opportunity to take a look at that, maybe do things a little bit differently? I think for Jim Phillips, getting a lay of the land. Okay, what has been decided before I got here? What did I learn as a member of the Big Ten in terms of what I was able to do at Northwestern, but also working under the Big Ten TV contracts that maybe I can take into the ACC? And do we want to try and do things maybe a little bit different to not only enhance our profile, but also help potentially bring in some more financial opportunities for the ACC, especially now when you look across the landscape, the SEC getting a big TV deal now moving forward, the Big Ten's going to be up for renegotiation. The ACC wants to be able to stay into the same ballpark as those two leagues. They don't want to really fall further behind. So a lot of this really revolves around, how are we going to bring in more money? How are we going to make ourselves be able to be more marketable? How are we going to be more competitive so that we do have more teams that have an opportunity to get into the playoff? And a lot of that revolves around TV and trying to get into more homes, trying to enhance the ACC network package with ESPN. And Jim Phillips was very honest and blunt about it. And he said, yeah, we need to focus on football. We need to enhance football because that's where all the eyeballs are right now. That's what's driving all the money to be able to come in and help these conferences. So the focus on football, I think, has been much needed. And everybody in the ACC, all the athletic directors and coaches we talked to, of course, they agreed on that. They want to see more of an emphasis on football, not at the expense of basketball, of course. Everybody understands how important basketball is to this league, but maybe try and do a little bit more to enhance the football product so that therefore you can try and do a little bit more to bring in some more dollars.
All right, Andrea, let's be honest here, though. This football element and the revenue associated with it is also part and parcel about what ultimately happens with Notre Dame, right? I mean, I think you guys covered it eloquently in the piece, but Notre Dame plays a role in this. Last year's experiment, if you will, I think proved to be, as you mentioned, very fruitful to the ACC, but I also think it was good for Notre Dame. And Notre Dame has to do some self-analysis here, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I know those are conversations that Jim Phillips is going to have. You know, everybody's like, well, the ball's in Notre Dame's court. And some of the people we talked to said, we missed an opportunity last year. We had leverage on Notre Dame and we just let them come in the door, take our stuff and walk out the back door. There's been some frustration about that. But I think the bottom line is, Jim Phillips is going to have some serious talks with Notre Dame about the financial component. I think, again, a lot of his conversations with ESPN and the television partners is going to be, okay, show us with Notre Dame in the mix. What does that financial component look like? If we bring in Notre Dame, show us how that's going to look so that we can go back to Notre Dame and say, hey, your NBC package is bringing in X number of dollars. If you come in as a full-time member, this is what our television package can deliver. And it's probably going to be worth more. So those are conversations that I think have to be had. And then when we look at the playoff and potential expansion, where does Notre Dame fit into that? Is it better for them to be in a conference? We saw last year getting into a conference with a loss was beneficial because they were able to get into the playoff with a loss. Playing in the conference championship game, I thought they enjoyed that experience. So there are a lot of conversations to be had, but you're absolutely right. If Notre Dame decides at some point they want to lose their independence because it's going to benefit them both financially and potentially with a playoff, it's got to be in the ACC, and the ACC has to make a convincing enough argument that it's going to be beneficial to Notre Dame from a financial perspective and all the other stuff to come in the fold.
If Commissioner Phillips is going to emphasize a football mentality, let me ask you this. Here in the spring, in the middle of April, if I said to you, what is the singular most important story of ACC football in the spring? How do you answer that question?
Great question, Pac. I think there's two of them, if I can pick two.
Sure.
Obviously, we
You're
all think
coach.
Clemson is going to be back in the playoff mix. Yeah, Coach Adelson here.
That's it.
Clemson, I think we feel like even with some changes, DJ Uiagalelei coming in there, and obviously they're going to have some new faces on offense, I think we all feel like they're going to be the favorite again. They're going to have a chance to get back into the playoff. For me, it's all about North Carolina and Miami. And what do these teams look like this year? Are they going to be contenders or pretenders? Miami's obviously got a huge game right out the gate against Alabama. What is De'Aaron King going to look like? Is he going to be completely healthy? And even if they lose that game, Miami will still have a chance to be in the mix in the ACC. So I'm not putting all the eggs in the proverbial Alabama season opener basket. For North Carolina, we've seen them make steps, and then we've also seen them lose to Florida State. You know, we've seen them lose to Virginia. Games that if they're going to take the next step, they have to win. So is this going to be the year with Sam Howell now in year three and Mack Brown in year three? They feel confident. They feel good. But we need to see more out of North Carolina. It's great to be a preseason top 10, top 15 team for both those, Miami and North Carolina. But okay, now are you actually serious about being a contender with Clemson? And those to me are the two biggest storylines in the spring and going into the season to watch.
All right. That is a full swing of Andre Adelson. We haven't seen Andre Adelson, I don't think, since January, Pack. So we did pretty good, right?
I got one more question.
We gave her the reprieve.
I got one more question, though, before we leave. We started this with the, hey, no visors, right? No Gators walking in there with a visor on game day in Tallahassee. Can you tell us what the first play is? Do you know what the first play is?
Come on. Yeah, let's go.
So we're having a coaches meeting with Mike Norvell later today, and we're going to go over, I think, what we can and cannot call. I know I want to call some trick plays, but I got to make sure it's okay with the head ball coach.
That is the Gator in you going to come out. Triple reverse on the first play. Listen, we love you to death. You're an incredible journalist, but I just don't know about this Gator tandem with you and Staples
rolling
into Tallahassee. I got that cold, clammy feeling. I don't know. Not trying to hate on you, but I just don't know about that.
Let me tell you this. Don't turn around on the sideline and look for Riedel Anthony or Jack Jackson or Eric Redd, okay? Because they're not there. All right?
Okay, guys, I'm just going to say this real quick in my defense. I talked to David Shaw earlier this week for a separate story, and I said, before I let you go, I need some quick coaching advice. I'm coaching the Florida State spring game. Well, what do I do? And he said, here's the great thing about spring games. They don't count, so throw it deep on every play. So I'm just going to do what David Shaw told me to do, guys.
That coming from David Shaw, we're going to put eight tight ends and run the fullback up the middle. That's coming from Shaw.
I know.
Unbelievable.
That's what I said.
You're going to have fun. We can't wait to watch. But great seeing you again.
Thanks,
continued
Andrew.
Success. That piece last week for every ACC fan
really good.
Was a must-read because it incorporated everybody in the future of this conference, which obviously is critically important.
Thanks, fellas. I'll call a play in your honor tomorrow.
There you go. Full back up the middle.
Appreciate it. That'd be us, yes. We are straight eye formation football.
That's it. Full back.
Andrew Adelson, you can read the piece with David Hale online at ESPN.com. It is outstanding. Don't forget, we are your home for spring football. Coach Adelson and Coach Staples are in the 5 o'clock game with Chris Cotter, Mark Herzlick, and Katie George. That's the Garnet and Gold from Doak Campbell in Tallahassee. Roddy Jones and I'll be coming to you from Raleigh, 1 o'clock, red and white, NC State. Spring football is presented by Geico right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, a look inside the world that changed this week for Hubert Davis, and we're going to take you around the ACC as well. Quick check before we head to a very, very busy weekend on the ACC calendar. We'll do that next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. We got Mike Johnson, Notre Dame volleyball, coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Irish are heading to the NCAA tournament, along with three other ACC members. We'll get all into that, Mr. Durham.
Indeed we will. A week ago today, we spent the better part of 3 hours talking about the legacy of Roy Williams as the basketball coach, and little did we know that Monday afternoon about 4 o'clock, we'd know who the new basketball coach was at Chapel Hill. We thought it might be quick, but we didn't think it'd be that quick. And it turned out to be Hubert Davis, who played for the Tar Heels in the late 80s and early 90s, had an NBA career, and then worked at ESPN for a handful of seasons before ultimately going to sit on the bench at Chapel Hill, which he's done the last 9 years. Roy Williams talked about the value of Hubert Davis and said, you know, after playing under Coach Smith and then and working with him, he has no doubt in his mind Hubert Davis will be successful. Here is now Coach Davis, Pack, on what it means to him to be part of Carolina basketball.
It's my distinct pleasure to formally introduce as the new head basketball coach at the University of North Carolina, Hubert Davis.
I had always wanted to be here at Carolina. You know, growing up, I had always wanted to walk out of that tunnel. I always wanted to put on that uniform, always wanted to play for Coach Smith.
Off balance, Davis back down court, made it, and he's fouled by Clark.
Carolina family means that we always stick together. It's somebody that you can count on. And anybody that has been a part of this program, we're a part of family. And I could call anybody for help, for advice, for support. That's what Carolina family is all about. I wasn't a high school All-American. I wasn't somebody that was highly recruited. And I remember Coach Smith and Coach Williams coming into my home and really suggesting to me that I should go someplace else. He just felt like that from an athletic standpoint, maturity standpoint, that it would be tough for me to play here. And I just remember telling Coach Smith that that may be true, but we wouldn't know for sure unless you gave me a chance and an opportunity. And when he left my house, he didn't offer me a scholarship. And then 2 days later, he gave me a call and he says, I really thought about what you said, and I'm going to give you that chance and I'm going to give you that opportunity. And I committed on the phone 2 days later. And Coach Smith giving me an opportunity, giving me a chance to come to a place that I've always wanted to come to. My uncle Walter Davis was an All-American here, played for him from 74 through 77. So Carolina was the place that I wanted to go. And him giving me that chance and that opportunity has allowed me to experience the most important things in my life. I grew up here, I played here, I graduated from here, I fell in love with my wife here. When I retired from the NBA, my wife and I decided to raise our 3 children here, and it all goes back to Coach Smith giving me a chance and giving me an opportunity.
He's the man. Let's go win games. Starting immediately as we speak.
Yeah, winning kind of in recruiting and the transfer portal and the grad route, right?
That's it.
More stuff to come, I'm sure, in the coming days about what Carolina will do in terms of staff and infrastructure and things like that, but our best to Hubert Davis. When we come back, Pack has said this week, and he's right, we've got the longest collegiate volleyball season ever, it seems like, right? Started in August, September. Now we're going to the NCAA tournament in mid-April. And when we come back, we're going to go to South Bend, Indiana. Notre Dame volleyball coach Mike Johnson has the Irish headed to Nebraska. We will talk to Coach Johnson, who visits our show again. He's got one of the 4 in the tournament. We'll do that next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Hey, here we go. Send your second cup. Send your second cup of coffee.
Bingo.
Oh,
yep. How about that? Right here. You got it.
I mean, it's good for something a little stronger than that.
Miss Vicky, Miss Vicky's pouring the Joe this morning, Pack.
Nice.
Yeah, getting the Joe. There
can't
we have
beat,
it.
Can't beat that. Now, listen, we've had every ACC volleyball coach who's going to Omaha next week except one. And I just told him we're saving the best for last because it's time.
Late negotiations have worked out.
That's it. We're bringing Mike Johnson back on the show because he's got the Irish heading to Omaha for the NCAA tournament. Coach, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are awesome. And, man, what a wild, wild run. We like I said, we've talked to every ACC coach that's heading to Omaha for the NCAAs. And this is a season I know none of us will forget. But for volleyball in particular, it's almost been, are we in? Are we out? Are we up? Are we down? I mean, I know you're glad to finally get to this point, but there's still some unfinished business for the Irish.
Well, certainly. I'd probably echo what all the other coaches have said. It's been a challenging year. I kind of look back to when we first started in August, ready for a fall season. We had a fall season, you know, trained, performed well, got some time off, and we're right back into it. And so I think for our kids, we're just grateful to be playing. We love to compete, and we're happy that we can keep going.
Coach, the length of this season, and each of your colleagues have talked about, you know, kind of the challenges there. But is there some uniqueness about this that that has come out about playing it over two semesters? Has it been – is there some positives in this?
I think there's a ton of positives. You know, the first is back in the fall, not all the leagues were playing. And so it really gave the opportunity to highlight ACC volleyball. The whole country was really watching the ACC, and I think they're what they're really seeing is how much talent and ability there is with across the ACC. And so really, I thought the fall gave us an opportunity to showcase just how good the league is becoming. And so I think that's it. You know, the other to me is it's really special for the seniors. You know, the seniors, this is clearly a tough senior year for everyone. And I know our seniors love to play. So the fact that they get to play more and longer in their senior year has really been a blessing.
I know you just mentioned you appreciate what you get here, especially for seniors. And I've already read a couple stories about folks saying, hey, you know what, the conditions aren't right in terms of locker rooms and all this in the first round, second round, we're not having announcers. Is that all? Does that just become noise, Coach? Or is that something that, hey, that needs to be addressed, and it's unaccounted for. I mean, it's been a weird year. You're just glad to get to this point. But now that we're here, can you be a little picky, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And to be honest, I think the concerns are valid. You know, you're talking to a guy, though, who loves this sport and, you know, and loves these players. And so, you know, in my mind, this is an opportunity to really grow the sport. And so... I think the opportunity to showcase, you know, the talent and the sacrifice that these players have put in. You know, we've been working since August to put our very, very best foot forward in Omaha. And, you know, we kind of just hope everyone's working to do the same.
Well, and you've got an outstanding team. Charlie Niego, Zoe Nunez, all ACC on the first team again. What does the veteran presence mean? What does that successful presence mean in an event like this where everybody's going to gather and you're going to play and it's going to unfold pretty quick, I think.
Well, you're right. You know, we have some players who've kind of been there and done that and been in this environment before. And I think they're critical because we also, we've played three freshmen, you know, the entire season as well, who've not seen it before. They're three very talented freshmen though. And so I do think those three can lean on the experience of players like Charlie and Zoe. I think it can only help us.
Were you surprised only four ACC teams got invites here?
No. You know, I think there was argument for a fifth, maybe a sixth. But, you know, keep in mind that normally it's a 64-team tournament with 32 at-larges. So when you chop that down to 20 at-larges, you know, having to me four out of the ACC is pretty good.
Interesting.
Yeah, no question. Coach, I'm going to follow up with this. And I talked to an assistant basketball coach who was involved in the non-bubble bubble in Indianapolis. The idea of playing these tournaments in a single venue or a single city, if you will. I know Dan Gavitt said the men's basketball tournament likely will not do that again. I haven't spoken to anybody on the ladies' side yet to hear how the San Antonio experience worked. This is more typical, though, for volleyball. I mean, when you recruit, you go to – I know they've got an event here where near where I live in Atlanta, the Big South, I think, which is, you know, massive numbers of teams that show up to play in the Georgia World Congress Center. This is not as much a stretch for volleyball as it is maybe some of these other sports we're hearing about, right?
Well, you're certainly right that, you know, all of our players have a history rooted in a convention center. You know, they've all – kind of played their club tournaments in them. The fact that they're all in there for the NCAA tournament, it's new. You know, but really, we control what we can control. We control our effort, our attitude, how we play, how we compete. And, you know, of course, a lot of that, what we just addressed, is out there. We're excited to be playing.
What do you know about Army? Who you'll see on noon next Wednesday?
Well, the first thing I'd say is I have just tremendous respect for those kids and those coaches. You know, I look at, you know, what those players are going to do for our country later on, and I just have the greatest respect for them. Yeah. Watching them play, I think they handle the ball pretty well. They got a good setter. They've got some really good arms. And certainly I expect them to be very tough. And, you know, so I like their team, but I also like ours.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's great to have a championship at the end of this road, I'm guessing too, Mike, right? That's really something you weren't sure in the fall you were going to get that, I guess.
Definitely. You know, it's a thing that, you know, we say all the time, we are the Fighting Irish. And so in what might be the most challenging, most difficult year, I look to us to have our best year.
And by the way, Coach, with that said, as crazy as this year has been, and we just saw March Madness where everybody who was in Indianapolis talked about, man, today's an important day because we get a chance to go outside and enjoy some fresh air. How do you have fun? And I know playing the sport is fun, right? But having to gone through all this, how do you get away from it a little bit just to say, hey, you know, we got to be somewhat normal in some respects just to laugh a little bit, cut up. So what's on the agenda from that perspective? Even when you get out to Omaha, how do you think you're going to pull that off?
You know, the fun is really the people that we share the experience with. And, you know, I've kind of heard it said, one of the unique things about coaching is we get to pick the people we go through life with. And so we've chosen these players and these coaches as the people we want to go through this really hard, trying experience with. And so the fun for us is just all the time we get to spend together. You know, I'm still kind of learning the logistics to see the exact schedule as we kind of determine that. But the time we spend together is what's going to be most special to me.
Hey, by the way, I got to give you a shout out because I try to catch as much as I can on ACC Network with other sports other than football and basketball, which are constantly getting a ton of attention. But I'm going to just go on record. Your court, your floor is the best in the league. I don't know who's
I appreciate that.
I don't know who's in charge of designing it. But when you turn on ACC Network and you're watching a volleyball match without ever seeing anything, you see that green edging, you know immediately I'm watching Notre Dame volleyball. Automatic.
There you go.
Well, thanks. We love our home arena.
Yeah. Coach Mike Johnson, Notre Dame's headed to the NCAA tournament. Wish you all the best. Safe travels. And thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. You bet. Good luck next week in Omaha. I think it's I'm gonna offer this. I know the club volleyball scene tends to go the convention center route, okay? And I know that Dan Gavitt came immediately out and said this week, I guess on Tuesday, that the NCAA men's tournament would hope to go back to its normal processes in terms of sites and things like that, Pac.
Well, I talked to him. We had him on the radio show, and he said the format, he said, to be determined as far as the format for future years, but he said, between now and 2026, they're locked and loaded. He would not discount afterwards that, you know, maybe they picked up some things from this go around that they can incorporate. So it, we'll see. But between now and 2026, the format will go back to its original idea that, hey, we have regionals and everybody heads in every different direction. So that's where, kind of where we are.
All right. All right. But let me ask you this. Didn't we learn enough? And now in a normal world academically, because think about it, in years gone by, right? Let's take the, remember the year that, I'm trying to remember a team that went west and won the regional and ended up, you know, flying across the country to play the first two rounds and coming back for 3 days only to fly back out there, right? And that's where that Friday, Sunday, Thursday, Saturday stuff gets in the way, right? You win on a Sunday, you fly home Sunday night, you're in town Monday and part of Tuesday, and then you're flying back out there to play in a Thursday regional, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't there some benefit to the quality of life the student-athlete gets by keeping it in a central location? And, oh, by the way, I know cities bid on this thing, but there are plenty, and you and I, we kind of talked about this off the air one time, there are plenty of venues, Omaha being one of them, where they're hosting volleyball, which made me think of this. There are plenty of venues across this country, especially some in the ACC footprint, who could do this and do it without a lot of margin for error, too.
It's interesting you bring that up because I asked him that question. I said, you know, Indianapolis is a great, great city to host NCAA championships. It is. It's a great walking town. The people there are great.
Right.
Venues, food. I mean, it's got the whole deal. Right? And it should be a part of any rotation. But I said, are there other, when you guys decide to go, quote unquote, bubble, to figure this thing out. Mm-hmm. Are there other places around the country that could pull it off? And he said there were. He would not elaborate because obviously he was more concerned about getting information about what they just went through. But yeah, I think there's other spots where you could throw the dart and say, guess what? This community can handle it. But you also just mentioned things go out for bids. There's a reason this tournament generates $865 million on the men's tournament.
Yeah.
One of those is that cities pay a lot of money to host it. And some do a better job than others, quite frankly. But yeah, I think, you know, because we talked about the whole thing. What did you learn from this last month that you can incorporate? And he said he was kind of curious to get feedback from the coaches and the players about what went well, what didn't go well, and so forth, that they can kind of incorporate and figure that thing out. It was still too early in the process for him to really give a true answer to that question, but ironically, that was discussed earlier this week on our show off campus on 84.
I think that the NCAA, and I would say this beyond the NCAA structure, I think they found some things in a pandemic year. And look, let's be honest, the economics of college athletics is going to be really scrutinized as schools and institutions try to recover, right? There's nothing cheap about flying out, flying back, flying out, and flying back, even if somebody else is flipping the freight on the ticket. That kind of thing, I think, has to be looked at as we kind of move through the next 3 to 5 years. And I get the deal to 26 for the men's tournament and the women's side and all that. But, hey, look. If you're getting an NCAA championship staged and you can do it in a central location, that's a win-win, I think, in many respects. And I'm anxious to see kind of what we pull from this in a positive light going forward. But thanks to Mike Johnson. Good luck to the ACC, the four ACC institutions headed to the NCAA volleyball tournament. When we come back, we talked to Andrea Adelson, who apparently is coaching in the Garnet and Gold game tomorrow.
Is.
With Andy Staples, two Gators, still one of those deals. On the other side, our visit with Mike Norvell from yesterday, he opened up the door to the competitive depth, especially at quarterback. They got four guys you're likely to see take snaps tomorrow with Cotter and Herzlick and Katie George on the call at 5 o'clock. Coach Norvell, in case you missed it, next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Mm-hmm. You know, we just talked to Andrea Adelson. She's coaching.
Yep.
Andy Staples. Yep. He's coaching. Mike Norvell. He's going to be sitting there going,
we're next.
What kind of call is that?
We're next.
Oh, you think we got that?
We're next.
Really?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do it. Somebody's going to think, you know what? Packer and Durham need to come coach our spring game.
Who would want us coaching?
We're going to go, you've lost your mind.
Who would want
Packer and I getting 22 personnel and run dive plays?
I think Andrew has the right idea, though. We're going deep. We're going to triple reverse.
David Shaw, going to sling the rock.
Yeah, right. Yeah. By the way, Mike Norvell joined us yesterday, and we talked about, you know, the enthusiasm of these guys playing. Just heard from Mike Johnson, the ladies volleyball. Hey, let's just go play. So here's what Coach had to say about the enthusiastic attitude of his club as they get ready to showcase their skills tomorrow afternoon right here on ACC Network.
Well, you know, that sense of urgency, that excitement that we have is something that I'm enjoying to see. You know, our guys, it was a challenging year for everybody, and all the adversity that showed up, all the different circumstances that we had to go through, I think in the end, you know, made us stronger, and it, you know, gave us a greater appreciation for maximizing the day and the opportunity that was guaranteed in front of us. And so, you know, as we've jumped into spring, you know, our guys have really brought that approach to each practice, to each workout, and that's one of the things I've been really pleased about, is that there is a sense of urgency for our improvement and you know, and a sense of excitement for every time we get to step on the field and play a game. We're not taking that for granted, and you know, we're all looking forward to Saturday, you know, get to, you know, our Seminole family here in the stands, and to have a great excitement around the spring game, and you know, just another opportunity to get better.
Coach, I think there's some other things too. I mean, obviously there's a handful of stuff. I've enjoyed seeing the video series that they've put on the Seminoles.com website about your program, The Climb. I think that's an inside look at kind of how different this has been, and it's really well done. The other thing would be this. There's this bit of an unknown about the quarterback. Mackenzie Milton transfers from UCF. I mean, he was as good as anybody in college football a couple of years ago before he got hurt. Kind of give us an update, at least from your chair, on where you think he is from a health perspective, and has he got the ceiling to get back to where he was before that devastating leg injury?
Well, you know, we're definitely excited about the addition of Mackenzie to our football team. Phenomenal young man, you know, great character, great leader. You know, the relationships that he's been able to build, you know, in a short period of time here in Tallahassee. It's been fun watching him practice. It's been fun watching him compete. You know, I think that he's definitely brought a great value to our quarterback room. You know, you see the competition with him, Jordan Travis, you know, Tate Rodemaker, and Chubba Purdy. Those guys are all getting better because of who's in that room. And I think Mackenzie and his experience is remarkable. And you look at a guy that's won his last 23 starts in college football, you know, the work ethic, how he prepares, the way that he competes, I think it makes everybody around him better, and really been pleased with the development of the quarterback room, not only with what we've seen in McKenzie kind of getting, you know, back into the swing of a day-to-day preparation and the way that he's competing.
Coach, I think one of the things that's always cool to hear are coaches talking about, hey, it's a new season, new roster. Who steps up from a leadership standpoint? Now, you had some alpha dogs last year during this crazy time that certainly took center stage and did not mind speaking their mind, whether it be on the air or in the locker room. What have you seen this spring from a leadership standpoint? Who stepped up? Who surprised you in that department?
Well, the thing that I've been excited about is just the actions that we're seeing. You know, throughout the course of the offseason, you know, leadership is going to emerge by who's willing to put forth the actions of hitting that standard day in and day out. And, you know, we've had some newcomers that have joined our program that, you know, didn't come in, you know, pounding their chest about what they were going to be or what they were going to become. But, you know, they just truly, you know, invested the time and the work. And you know, guys like Jermaine Johnson, you know, has been remarkable as I've seen him grow and develop. You know, you've got guys that you are returning. You know, we talk about it, Jordan Travis, Jashawn Corbin. You look at guys in the linebacker room. You know, Emmett Rice has been remarkable. You know, Amari Gaynor, guys. You know, Fabian Lovett up front. I mean, I know I'm hitting on a lot of names, but that's the thing that's exciting is that you know, guys are not just letting their words, you know, I guess tell the story. Their actions are what's setting them apart. And when you see that, when you see that leadership day in and day out, and the consistency of that, man, that's when people will follow. And I'm very excited about the steps that we've seen up to this point. We got a lot of work to do with the summer workouts and everything that's ahead of us before we kick off. You'll hear in September, but you know, seeing the right steps, and I like the leadership that's starting to emerge.
Well, you mentioned Amari Gaynor and Emmett Rice; those were your two leading tacklers a year ago. What kind of influence do you think that side of the ball has in your second season?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at our defense from a year ago, and you know, there's been a lot of change. We've had an opportunity for, you know, a lot of the young players that got that experience and kind of got thrown into the fire early. You know, they're getting a chance to show the development, the confidence that they have, and their strength, and you know, their overall understanding of what they're being asked to do. You know, some of the new players that have come in that are going to bring a great impact to what we're doing. It's exciting to see that group gel and, you know, really, you know, like I said at the beginning, you know, establish the identity for what it is to be a Florida State defender and how we attack and the way that we play the game. And that's something that we have to see across the board. But you'll really like the steps that we're taking, the physicality of how we're preparing and practicing each and every day. And you know, it sets up well for what's to come here for this fall.
Hey, you guys get cranked up at 5 here on ACC Network. So for folks that are in the stadium, if you're lucky enough to go, and if you're not, you got your feet up and you say, hey, I want to watch a little football this afternoon, and you watch Florida State, give me two or three things that you are looking forward to in terms of the game. And as far as, hey, I want to see the competition in the areas of A, B, and C, X, Y, and Z. What? Give us a little feel for what we should be paying attention to on Friday, or excuse me, on Saturday.
Yeah. You know, the things that I'm excited about for the spring game is to see our guys have to go out there and apply all the things that we've you know, learned throughout the course of spring, our fundamentals, the situational awareness, playing with confidence in the call, and you being able to go out there and play with great pad level physicality. But I want to see our team relentlessly finish every aspect of what we do, and that's something that's important for us. You know, the situations, you know, going offense versus defense. I mean, there's gonna be things that show up that are going to force our guys to be in uncomfortable situations, and truly seeing that response, and you know, to have 11 guys on the field playing as one, playing with confidence and playing clean football. You know, I want to see limited mistakes, but also just a relentless pursuit of that standard of what we're trying to hit in each aspect, and just our team to go out there and get better and have fun competing against each other in front of our great fans, and you know, the opportunity that's ahead of us Saturday night.
Mike Norvell, 5 p.m. tomorrow. Yep. That'd be a Saturday, Florida State spring game. A couple Gators on the sidelines. Keep an eye on those two, by the way. Adelson and Staples. Keep an eye on those two. Just saying.
Staples probably have something to eat. That'd be good. We also get Dabo Swinney on this program Monday. We'll kind of review and reflect on the spring with the coach of the Clemson Tigers. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, you
may want to show him some of that Penley gear too. By the way,
I told you I was even too busy for Dabo yesterday when I was down there.
I know you were. Yeah, busy for everybody. Got a lot going on yesterday.
There was a lot going on yesterday in Tiger Town, but I know they had their spring game. You had to call with that bad boy last week, and listen, yep. Clemson's going to be really, really good. No surprise there. Everybody in the league's trying to catch them.
Yep,
been trying to do that now for the last six, seven years. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be fun. Tigers are going to be good.
All right, more unbreakable records when we come back on the Olympic sports side, if you will, soccer, baseball, lacrosse. Plus, we go around the ACC. Pax already told you there are some big baseball series this weekend. We'll touch on that and more coming up. Power Hour on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.